And Donna, there's Kleenex down there if you need it. Okay, so what we're going to start back is Christianity 101. I think most of us have missed this. You know, I think I have taken it too lightly. How do you be? What is a Christian? Very simply here. So we're going to break it into four components and go into each one. One thing I think we don't mention is it's actually you're entering into a covenant when you become a Christian. No different than marriage. It's really, you're entering into a lifetime covenant agreement. And a covenant is an agreement. And I don't think most people, they don't sell it like that. Because they want everybody to do it. And so they, you know, which we're going to see. The other thing is, what is a Christian? A Christian receives power, which is Holy Spirit. We know also that by what a Christian is a person who will receive life age abiding on the new earth under the lordship of Christ Yahushua, and then further down under Yahweh. And the Christians are also, they are witnesses of Christ's resurrection. So the manifestations we just did are testimonies that Christ is risen. And his word is true. We'll go into that a little bit more. So we're going to begin with a covenant. And I think what we've done is we're trying to save people from hell. And so we make it, what we say, it's easy to become a Christian. Well, yeah, it's easy to get married, too. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to go into a lifetime covenant.
Yeah.
Now, that's something you have to think about. Because you know, if your word's going to mean anything. And so with Kenneth Cope, I just went into how to become a Christian. Just hit some people what they said. And he would say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I present myself to you. I pray and ask Jesus to be Lord over my life. Now, what they don't express, this is true. People don't know what that means. What you're saying is to be Lord over my life means I'm going to be a what?
A servant.
So, you know, I ask that I'm claiming to be a servant to Jesus or Yahushua for the rest of my life. Wow, well, that just kind of changes everything. I believe it in my heart, and that's why I say it with my mouth, Jesus has been raised from the dead. This moment I make him the Lord of my life. And instead of saying that, this moment I serve him for the rest of my life. A whole different ramifications. Jesus, and how do I serve him? This it tells me. And if I don't know what the instructions on how I'm supposed to serve him, then I should not enter into any covenant. And the covenant I'm saying is really going to be meaningless in the first place. Because if I'm fornicating, you know, if I'm in what they say cohabitating, and a lot of Christians so far, they're out of, you know, they're having sexual intimacy with a person and they're not married. Well, you have to give that up. Well, wait a minute here. Now I just want to make him my Lord. Well, that's what a servant does. They do what their master says, and the master says, yeah, I got to go. Yeah. So we know in 1 Corinthians 5, it also says that if your brother is a fornicator or a drunkard, thus you're not even going to say, eat with such a person. Well, wait a minute. My brother is a drunkard and a fornicator, but I'm not going to give up my brother for Jesus. Well, then he's not your Lord. Yeah. Then don't enter that covenant. And real simple, don't get into a covenant with it. Because that's what being a servant is to do what your master tells you. And the covenant means, here's what my responsibilities are, and then what am I going to get? I'm going to get fellowship, I'm going to reign with him, I'm going to get life age abiding, I'm going to get Holy Spirit power. But there's a price I've got to pay. And here's what I'm going to receive. Most people, I think, what we've got is, it's more like a ticket that you want to go
that's
to Disneyland.
Thought, yeah.
So people say it's a free gift. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. So here's this another example. This is my peace with God. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. Now, Satan believes all these things. Right? I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. Does Satan know that?
Yeah.
Now he knows that. I believe that he died for my sins. Yeah, he knows that too. And that you raised him to life. He knows that too.
Yeah.
I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord. And that's the problem when you get into the Lord, is following him as a servant. from this day forward, and this is a person when you're on a site where they don't give you, here's what you're signing up for. You better read what you're signing up for before you make your little prayer at the end of the deal, because this is right online. Guide my life and help me do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, let me see
here.
Who
was that in ministry?
That was just called Peace with God. And then you have Billy Graham. Let me point out two important truths. First, God welcomes us just as we are. No. Just really, what kind of statement is that? Just as we are, no, you're going to change. Really simple. And if you want into this agreement, that's part of the deal. And that's called repent, change direction. So I don't like to want you just as you are. I want you to, it's required that you follow me. That's Billy Graham. He doesn't wait for us to clean up our lives. He doesn't reject us because we're not perfect. He doesn't look down on us with scorn or hate. Instead, he loves us. When we come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, he welcomes us and forgives us and makes us part of his family forever. You know, so you're like, wrong. I mean, it just
sounds good.
Yeah, and what happens is, when you're, and I think they usually do this, because when you're having meetings and at the end of the church service, like church did, who wants to commit to Jesus Christ? Okay, and then they count. We had three people commit their lives to Christ, and the people who held up their hand had no idea what they're signing up for. Because they never said, here's what you're signing up for. And people in marriage, they know what they're signing up for. Most people say, you want to marry Melania? Well, wait a minute here. That means you're going to work with her and serve her and be received for the rest of your life. But you're in a commitment, and you have to say, I got to think about that.
Yeah,
I've got to think about that. This is, you know, my word means something. So that's what we're going to try to reevaluate and get back to covenant. And a covenant is vows, as we know, oaths, and marriage is a good one. And one thing we're asked, really, every person in this world who's going to become a Christian is being told they're going to be doing one thing. Forsaking the ways of the world for a future kingdom. So very simply, you're going to be hated by the world. Want to sign up? Yeah? And we know that 1 John 2:15 and 16. Be not loving the world, for all that is in the world, the covenant of the flesh, the covenant of the eyes, the vain grandeur of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Very simply. And so you have to say, wait a minute here. Nobody ever presented that to me, but that's it. You're here to forsake the world. And we're going to see people that did that. So the covenant agreement, we begin with Abraham. Or Abram. So here, a covenant is an agreement, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Let's just reevaluate. It doesn't say covenant, but it means people. But it's an arrangement that Yahweh says, are you in? And most people, I think, why they're made so easy is they don't want people to go to hell. And so since they've got to hell, here, I'm going to save you from hell. And so like Dr. Rowe used to say, Jesus Christ, or Yahushua Mashiach, is not a fire escape from hell. And the only reason I'm going up this fire escape is because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to serve Christ, but I don't want the alternative.
Yeah.
And that's not a motivation to be on the new earth. So Genesis 12, 1 and 3, and Yahweh said unto Abram, come thou on thy way. And so think of this, saying this to every one of us. Every one of us. So here to Donna, I'm going to read this to, this is Donna, Yahweh talking to Donna.
Oh, you can do me.
No, it's all right.
No, it's me, Dad.
Okay, I'll do it to Aaron. This is a compliment to all of us. It's a compliment, just an illustration. Come thou on thy way, Aaron, out of the land and out of the place of thy birth and out of the house of thy father, unto the land that I will show thee, that I may make thee into a great nation, and bless thee, and make great thy name, and become thou a blessing. Wow, here's the blessings that are coming on to me. What do I got to do? I've got to come and follow him. And verse 3, that I may bless them who bless thee, But him who maketh light of thee will I curse, so shall be blessed in thee all the families of the ground. Okay, and what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to follow. And then Yahweh, that's the covenant. I'm going to follow. The agreement is I follow and go where he says to go. And what do I get? I'm going to get blessing and I'm going to be prospered. And so, you know, Abraham became a very wealthy man. Family. Israelites. Let's go to Exodus 20. Next covenant. Agreement. And this is good for Elijah and Isaiah and Esther people to confront people about Christ and lifestyle and changing and invite them to the kingdom. So we know this covenant, Exodus 21-17, came off the Mount Sinai. And Elihu spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, who hath brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of servants. Thou and hath not had other gods besides me. So instead of thou shalt not have, it's in the perfect state, which means it's not even a possibility. And you know the rest of the Ten Commandments. This is
the contract.
Yeah, this is the contract. Here's what you're going to do. And let's see, and
if
in 24...
You want, because you have freedom of will.
Yeah, that's right. This is what you're signing up for. And so, and here's the other thing, too. If a person wants to become a Christian, then you have to say, you're going to obey, you're signing up to obey the Ten Commandments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I become a Christian and say, no, I'm not going to do some of those commandments? Well, that's works then. And then you're not a Christian because I'm saved by grace and not by faith, or by grace and faith and not by, you know. And so I start coming up with this. And there's no, I don't have to obey the commandments. No, it automatically comes with it. So we're not in a special age where we don't have to do anything. 24. So this is great. He went up and they got to hear it, and they said, "Go ahead and get the rest of the commandments, and then come down and talk to us." Because he's scaring the bejesus out of us.
Who's bejesus?
I don't know. But
I don't know, but you don't want to leave.
You don't want to leave, yeah. So this is 24:3. So Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of Yahweh and all the regulations, and all the people responded with one voice and said, all the words which Yahweh has spoken we will do. That's the covenant. That's the agreement, right? Now we go to 7 and 8 and read 7 and 8, Melania.
Then took he the book of the covenant and read in the ears of the people, and they said, all that Yahweh hath spoken we will do, or will we do, and will hearken. Then Moses took the blood and dashed over the people and said, lo, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has solemnized with you over all these words.
Here we go. That's a covenant. And there's really no different than when a person becomes a Christian. They're agreeing to certain things. I think believers are going to be different stages. Young children, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, they're not going to get to that point. I think Yahweh gives that grace where they can receive Holy Ruach. But there is a point where they're going to be older, and a teenager, they're going to come to the point and be able to say, are you going to enter into a covenant with Yahweh? Now we go to Luke 10, and so we're going to see this all the way through the Word. The covenant, what is the covenant? Luke 10, verse 25. So very simply, the guy is asking, what must I do to receive life age abiding? That's the good point of the covenant, right? I don't want to die forever.
Okay.
Well, and that's it. And so that's what he's going to ask. My covenant is an agreement. And lo, a certain lawyer arose, putting 10:25, the test, saying, teacher, by doing what shall I inherit life age abiding? This is not heaven. We're going to receive life age abiding. And he said unto him, in the law what is written, how dost thou read? And he answered and said, thou shalt love Yahweh thy Elohim out of all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy intention. That's another question too. Can a person become a Christian not agreeing to that.
No.
Mm-hmm. So there are conditions. I mean, are you going to love Yahweh with all... That's the first commandment. You're going to love Yahweh with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, that's works. Yes. Yes, it is. That's what the agreement is. Are you going to not do it? Yes. And what do? You ask for forgiveness and get right back in line. And thy neighbor as thyself, right? This is what you're signing up for. Well, what is he... How do I love Yahweh? Well, I've got to look what the book says. And the book will tell me. And he said unto him, rightly hast thou answered, this do, and thou shalt what?
Live.
There's the covenant. Real covenant. Do this, and you get life, ancient body, with me on the new earth, and we're going to live forever together. You're signing up. Now, the problem is, we just saw, if you became a follower of him, did the Pharisees like you?
No.
No. Did the Sadducees like you?
No.
Did the high priests like you?
No.
So that's the point. Hey, Elijah, you want to sit in the back?
No,
you stand up. I know you're comfortable either way. But you're fading. You've had a busy day.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we've got here is Christ's Lordship Covenant, the covenant we have amended now. So what we're going to do is... Through the Gospels and all the Old Testament, Yahweh is Lord. You bow to Yahweh. After Christ dies, something has changed. And now you have to bow to Christ. And if you're a Jew, you say, I'll bow to Yahweh, but I'm not going to bow to Yahushua. Guess what? All deals off. So the covenant has now been, I'm going to love Yahweh with all my heart, soul, and strength. But I'm not going to bow to Christ. So the covenant has now been amended. Things have changed. And, you know, as we're going to see in Acts 2, we start getting into our age. You saw a lot of people who were doing, and Paul was one of them, saying, you know, I'm doing the Mosaic law, and he is righteous, but you got to say, no, there's another condition now. And that's 2:36, Acts chapter 2:36. And surely then let all the house of Israel know that both Lord and Christ, that means Master and Christ. So I think if we ever say, instead of saying Lord, say you got to make Yahushua your Master. Well, I don't like that word,
Master.
We
don't understand the word Lord.
Yeah, I don't think they understand it. I think it's a really nice word, but no, you're going to be the Master, and you're going to be the servant. And do you want to sign up for this gig? Right. Okay, and you should say, well, what's in it for me? Well, he's going to protect you. They're going to supply your needs. You're going to receive life, age, and body. You're going to receive Holy Spirit. And you're going to have peace. And what's the downfall? Well, you're probably going to be hated. Well, not probably. You will be hated if you make a stand like that. And any questions? Yeah. So there's a good side, there's a bad side. There's always a bad side. Let's see, here was I at 36. Surely then let all the house of Israel know that both Lord and Christ have Yahweh made him, even the same Yahushua, whom you crucified. That's not popular. Yeah. Hey, you guys, yeah, and by the way, you crucified Christ. How dare you? And when they heard this, they were pricked to their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, what are we to do, brethren? There you go, the haughty. And now you got the low. And Peter said unto them, repent ye, change directions, and let each... And these are only Hebrews, these are not nations. So these are people who are circumcised. And let each one of you be immersed in the name of Yahushua Mashiach into the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the free gift of Holy Ruach. Okay. Now we go to Acts chapter 10, so we're going to see a Christian receives Spirit. That's one of the great advantages, which is power. And what has happened today with the majority of the church, they don't know anything about the Spirit. It is no different than an app on your phone that you know nothing about. You know what happens to it? Is it there?
No.
Yeah, the app's there.
It is there.
Is the app on the phone? Is the potential there?
Yep.
Is the potential power?
Yep.
The app, yes. Do you know how to use it? No. Do you want to know how to use it? No. So I'm not going to use it. And so you have no power. And we're going to see as a majority of Christians do not have power because they refuse to use the app. Now we go at 10, chapter 10, verse 44. We're going to see this power, the same come along, which is spirit, ruach, hakadosh. 10:44-47. Aaron, you want to read 44-47?
While Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Ruach fell upon all who were hearing the word. And the faithful of the circumcision who had come unto Peter were amazed, and that upon the nations also the free gift of the Holy Ruach had been poured out. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying Yahweh. Then answered Peter, surely then the water can no man forbid that these should not be immersed, seeing that the Holy Ruach that they have received, as well as we. And
so that's it. So these people were not, these are the first uncircumcised people, because we know throughout the, all the text, circumcision was mandatory. That's all there was. These are the first people who were, things had changed that were not circumcised. And these are called the nations, and they received the free gift, the Holy Ruach. How do we know they received it?
Spoke in tongues.
They spoke in tongues. The majority of all Christians today, I would venture to say, have never spoken tongues. There is no manifestation of any power whatsoever. And we're going to go to chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, 9. Which usually we'll quote this on how to get saved. But there is a verse does not save a person. It's a decision once the person has received all the information they need to know. Here's what you're entering into. And actually, in the New Testament, I think there's 1,100 different commandments. Which is, don't let
corrupt
discourse proceed out of your mouth. It just goes on and on. Kill the old man. It goes on and on. So I got a person there actually just went through all these in a church episcopal. We think, well, we're not underneath the law, so we can just go Yahoo.
Yeah, we do whatever we want.
And so I can say Jesus is my Lord, and I got all the benefits, and I can keep fornicating, I can keep getting drunk, I can do whatever I like because I'm saved by grace, not by faith, and not of works lest any man should boast. So I'm in. And Romans 10:9. Then that's usually it. That if thou shalt confess the declaration with thy mouth that Yahushua is my master, and shalt believe with thy heart that Yahweh awoke him from among the dead, thou shalt be made whole, sozo. For in the heart it is believed unto righteousness, with the mouth it is confessed unto salvation. Now, but we know, if we go to 2 Corinthians 5, we don't usually told this on our conversions. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. You want to read that, Wendy?
For the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died, and in behalf of all died he, in order that they who live no longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and rose again.
And that's actually again awoke.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So what did we just learn here? What are we called to do? Live for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He died for me, so I'm agreeing to live for Christ. I think a good example now is the persecution that has come against the Trump family.
Yeah.
Now think of that. Now, because they stood right on honesty against the walls of darkness, we have to have the same authority and same stance. That will we take that kind of heat where we're shunned?
We're called all sorts. Our heat.
Pardon me?
Is he willing to take our heat?
Yeah. No, but I mean, as a Christian, when somebody says, well,
Who do you think?
Let's don't take it too literal.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So this person's fornicating. He's a good guy. He pays his taxes. It's consensual. It's all right. So it's all right. I know I'm not supposed to be with you, but that's, you know, I'm going to look at grace and then you go on. I know I'm supposed to speak in tongues, but I'm really not comfortable with that. And if somebody else told me, they're going to say I'm a fringe, and I'm not really comfortable with that. And so I'm going to melt things down to where I'm really comfortable.
Become a writer.
And guess what? I'm also going to show you that the Democrats are going to like me.
Yeah.
I mean, so half the world's Democrats in the United States.
A cult.
Yeah, and so I'm not going to put a bumper sticker on my car that could turn people off, that really identifies me as a Christian. I know it in my heart. They're going to see it in my life. And I remember Joyce Meyer saying that. I don't need to put a Jesus bumper sticker in my car. They can see how I'm driving, that I'm a Christian.
Well, I've heard her say differently. So.
Okay, but Donna, let me explain something to you. I go through a church parking lot, and that's Pathway Church, that is Life Church.
Excuse me.
No bumper stickers.
Yeah,
and
look
what's on my car.
No. And not even on the pastor's car. So I even have the pastor's "In God We Trust" is not even on their license tag. You know, which is a sad, sad state, because you would not know who's a Christian and who's not. And you go through the whole church park. Now, you will see who the K-State fans are. And you'll see who the Wichita State fans are. And you'll see every car lot names on there, where there's Mel Hamilton, Ford, and everything else. So you see all sorts of acceptable things, but you know, I'm not going to get into that hard part. Now, but we know, so you're like, okay, I'm supposed to live for Christ, but with grace, you know, it's not by works, and so I can live a carefree life and not pay any consequences. Well, I got to read 2 Corinthians 5:10. And what does it say? "For we all must needs be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ, that each one may get back the things done by means of the body, according to the things which he practiced, whether good or corrupt." That means Christians are accountable for the rest of their lives, what they do. The good things, you're going to get rewards. And the bad things, if you don't correct those bad things, you're going to be judged according to those bad things. Well, wait a minute. Time out. It's not by works. It's by grace. All I got to do is say, I'm sorry, and everything's forgiven. That's not what 2 Corinthians 5:10 says. And that's also Colossians 3:25 says the same thing. And we're not told that. And so we've got to reevaluate these things. But that's first, is the covenant. What is a Christian? They entered a covenant relationship with vows. And let me just show you what a vow is. Numbers 30. I forgot to write it down. And these are very good for the Israelites and for Melania and for all of us. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what
Numbers,
a vow is.
Numbers 30.
I don't know. Don't know
where they're created. Page 191, Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. What is a vow? Vow. Now we know a marriage is a vow. I'm going to promise to do certain things. And the marriage vows are wrong today, because they're not vows at all. And what they say is, I'm going to love you through sickness or health, for, you know, death to us part, you know, richer or poor, sicker or health, death to us part. No such vow in this book. Yahweh never said to agree to that. You know, so they made it all, something that now you have sworn to do something that's not biblical. Don't swear to something that you're not going to do something. Because also, for richer or poor, the death to us part. Well, wait a minute. I just swore this person could become a murderer, my spouse, and I recommend that I'm going to stay with him the rest of my life. Why would you do that? Are you insane? what happens if this beats my children? You know, and, you know, an alcoholic or a fornicator, an adulterer. And so even though Christ, when we're talking about marriage, it says if you're caught, you know, if you commit adultery, you can divorce. So don't say, for richer or poor, till death do us part. For better, for worse, wrong. And pastors shouldn't be saying this at all.
Yeah.
But here's a vow. One, and Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes of the sons of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. When a man shall vow a vow unto Yahweh, this is entering into a covenant, or swear an oath to bind a bond upon his soul, he shall not break his word. According to all that proceedeth out of his mouth shall he do. Real simple. And then the rest of the chapter we'll be talking about women, if their daughters are making a vow, you know, the father's supposed to listen to the vow. And if he's going to say, yes, she can do that, then okay, but no, you can't promise that. And that's why we say marriage vow. Don't make a vow like that. You don't make a vow. And what are you going to do is, I'm going to vow to do what Yahweh's word says according to marriage. And if that covenant is broken, if you decide not to do what Yahweh says, which you have that right, the person I'm marrying, then that means you're going to break the covenant, right? And if you break the covenant, I can leave righteously the covenant. You can't. And so which the person who breaks it cannot remarry. And that's 1 Corinthians 7. So it talks about if a wife depart, let her depart, but not to remarry. Mm-hmm. But very simply, if the unbeliever wants to depart, let them depart, but you're not responsible. You know, you did your vow, they did not do their vow. So people change all the time. Now we get into the gift of Holy Ruach, and we're going to go into being filled with power. And so let's just go to Acts 1:8. Okay, Melania, you want to read 8?
Yeah. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Ruach cometh upon you, and ye shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and as far as the uttermost part of the land.
Well, think of that. Power. And so here's what I'm going to gain. I'm going to gain power, and also I'm going to be a witness. The witness is the Holy Spirit that I'm manifesting. The witness that Christ is alive, because you're doing things you cannot do. And that's what we're going to go into, the manifestations. Now, the gift, there's two words that we're going to be discussing, the gift. And one is Doria, which is Strong's number 1431, and then Daron, which is Strong's 1435. We're going to hit Daron first, and it's in Matthew 2:11. And coming unto the house, they saw the child, this is Yahushua, Mary its mother, and falling down, you know, you see Mary its mother? See the word its? How dare you call my Lord it? Well, let me ask you, Shauna, is child masculine, feminine, or neuter?
Neuter.
The word child.
Neuter.
Yeah, neuter. Well, everybody else is going to change that to his. They're not faithful to the text. And so what they did, well, we can't do that, and so we're just going to go ahead and change it to... And saw the child with Mary, his mother. So the Rotherham is faithful to the text, yes. And that's how you can find out where they start changing the pronouns to fit their accommodations.
Cherry picking.
Yeah. Mary, its mother, and falling down, prostrate themselves unto What?
It.
It. Oh, we can't call our Lord it.
It does sound a little weird.
Yeah, but that's because it's a child.
Yahweh wrote.
It didn't say the boy. It would have said he. If it was a girl, it would have been she. If it says child, what is child?
It.
It's neuter. Real simple. It. And following, look, so fidelity to the text and opening their treasures offered unto it Duran gifts. Now Duran, these can be sacrifices, and it's different from Doria. Duran is used, let's say here, I forget how many times, I threw that away, but it's used all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's also the one that's used in Ephesians 2:8. Let's go to Ephesians 2:8. And this is usually our misunderstanding when we're talking about it's not by works of righteousness, but by his faith alone. 2:8. For by his favor have you been saved through means of faith. And this hath come to pass, not from you, of Yahweh, the free gift, Duron. Okay. Doria is different. Doria is the gift of Holy Spirit, and it's what they call a formal endowment, like a state award, a bequeath. So it's different than Duron. You know, so it makes a very big difference here. On what this is talking about and what the gift of Holy Spirit is talking about.
Well, which one's the gift of Holy Spirit? Doria?
It's Doria. And we're going to go in Acts 2:38. And you're going to see that. Doria is not used in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Duran is used all the way through there. It's used once in John. And then it begins in Acts 2:38. Now, we have the same word, free gift. We have no distinction whatsoever. We have no idea that they're two different words, and they mean two different things. And Peter said unto them, repent ye, and let each one of you be immersed in the name of Yahushua Mashiach into the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the free endowment. And so, the free gift of the Holy Ruach, and endowment comes from a dowry, to receive a dowry, which is income or whatever. You're going to receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see this over and over and over.
Excuse me, would endowment be like a...
It's really what they call it's a higher order.
Like a trust?
Yeah, it could be a trust, but a state award, a bequeath. You know, it is... what the guys gave to Yahushua was gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which was a gift. Mm-hmm. But Holy Spirit's in another capacity of that
like
gift. Yeah, it's a higher capacity than how else that's being used.
One is Doria, and what's the other one?
Duran, D-O-R-O-N, and D-O-R-E-A. Now we go to chapter 8.
Acts?
Stay in Acts. 8:19-20. And this is, remember, Simon the sorcerer, Philip is doing miracles, signs. That is a witness that we have Holy Ruach. Saying, so he said, this is Simon asking Peter, give unto me also this authority in order that on whomsoever I may lay my hands, he may receive Holy Ruach. And Peter said unto him, the silver... with thee go to destruction, because the free gift, the dowry of Yahweh, thou dost suppose could with money be obtained. So, Doria is with Holy Spirit. Duron is with Ephesians 2:8. We go to chapter 10:45, verse 45, which we already read. Now was with Peter with Cornelius, the house of Cornelius, and the faithful of the circumcision who had come with Peter were amazed and that upon the nations also the Doria of the Holy Ruach hath been poured out. So it's always Doria with Holy Spirit, Doria with Holy Spirit, Doria with Holy Spirit. We go to 11:17, and that's just a reiteration of Peter telling the circumcision what happened. If therefore the like free gift Yahweh gave unto them as unto us, the Doria, when we had believed upon the Lord Yahushua Mashiach, who was I that I could withstand Yahweh? That's the gift. So, I think we're really misconstruing many times the life of a Christian. And the life of a Christian is that we're receiving life age abiding, and we also receive the gift of Holy Ruach. And the Holy Ruach is the free gift conditioned upon, you do not get this unless you do what? Make Yahushua your master. Agreeing to do what you are told. If I agree to do what I'm gonna agree to for a week. I'm gonna have you my master for a week. How about that? A month? How about a year?
I don't think people do that.
Yeah. How about a year? Or how about one day? And so I'm gonna be married for 12 months. I'm going to swear to you. Does it work? Well, then there's works involved. I'm committing to myself, and so we must understand that free gift that we're talking about in Ephesians 2:8. Yeah, no, you can't be that way. We all know that. You know, I'm going to be a Christian for 6 months, and I'm agreeing for him to be my master for 6 months, and I'm going to stick right to it, and I'm going to have life age abiding, and I'm going to receive Holy Ruach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not by works.
You don't lose it.
Yeah, but you're like, no, Yahweh knows the heart to be able to say, you're not a servant. You're not going to live for Christ as after Christ died for you, and you're going to live for yourself. You're not going to be hated by the world, and so you're not entering into any kind of couple. How dare you say that? Because it's by faith, not by works. That's amen. And so all this has to come together. We realize very simply, works have to come. If I'm agreeing to do the Ten Commandments, I cannot become a Christian without agreeing to do the Ten Commandments. Well, that's works. Yes, it is. Now, is it a gift? Well, it's a gift in relationship to what you give out. It's nothing but what you're going to return. So, you know, I'm going to give out $10, you're going to give back $1 million. Okay, in that capacity, yes, but I've got to give out that $10.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Or otherwise, I don't get the $1 million. And so in that proportion, well, that's a gift, yeah, because that's not even exchange whatsoever. You know, so. Now we go on, as a witness of Christ and Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, the power is manifested, and we go to Acts 5, This is really good. Very important to realize this too. You know, these guys are being harassed. You know why they're being harassed? Let's look at it. You're going to be harassed? You want to be harassed?
No.
I'm going to show you how you're going to be harassed.
I know.
By working for Christ. And look at these guys for doing good things. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Donald Trump gave more jobs to people than they've ever had. He gave them more money than they've ever had. He gave them freedom from illegal aliens invading the United States. He gave us freedom from China, who was trying to kill us, you know, and Russia, who's trying to kill us, and Iran's trying to kill us, and North Korea's trying to kill us. Right? That's what we received, and what did they give him? They'd kill him if they could. And that's the United States of America. Now watch what these guys are doing in verse 12.
29?
Yeah, no, chapter 5, verse 12 of Acts. Sorry? I'm going to go to 29.
Okay.
It's the same chapter, the context. And through the hands of the apostles were coming to pass many signs and wonders among the people. That's through Elijah. Through your hands, signs and wonders coming to pass when you manifest what we've got. Same with Isaiah. And they are all with one accord in the portico of Solomon. Howbeit, of the rest, no one does join himself unto them. Nevertheless, the people continue to magnify them. And the more were being added when they believed in the Lord, throngs, both of men and women, so that even in the broadways where they bring forth the sick and laying them on small couches and beds, in order that if Peter was going along, even perchance his shadow might overshadow some one of them. Moreover, even the throng of the cities all around Jerusalem were coming together, bearing sick folks, and as such were harassed by impure spirits, who indeed were being cured one and all. We got to stop that.
Yeah.
We got to stop that good. It's like having a hospital. We got to bar that gates.
Yeah.
We can't have people getting attention away from us. We can't do those things. And so that's what they're in trouble for. That's what they're. That's what Donald Trump's in trouble for. He's standing against darkness. Now in 29, but Peter and the apostles answering said, "It is needful to be yielding obedience unto Yahweh rather than to you," because they're saying, "Stop it." The Elohim of our fathers has raised up a Gyro, woke up Yahushua, whom you got in your hands, suspending him upon a tree. Him as princely leader and savior hath Yahweh exalted to his right hand to give repentance unto Israel and the remission of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. Why? Because they saw his resurrection. Right? They were part of his resurrection. Also, the Holy Spirit is a witness. That's our witness, that Christ is alive. Which Yahweh had given unto them who are yielding what?
Obedience.
Obedience unto him. Well, that's works. Right? Yeah. Well, you've got to obey Yahweh to become, if Christ is your master, your owner. Of course, you got to be that.
In order to be his child.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you're yielding obedience unto Yahweh. You get the free gift of the Holy Ruach. And we've got witnesses. We'll kind of do this. In Acts 8:17, and let me see here, in 9:17, 10:44-46. So these, and then we see the great cloud of witnesses, which is in Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 12:1 says the great cloud of witnesses. That's Abraham and Moses, and these are all witnesses of who? What were they witnessing about Yahweh? So all of 11 was not about the Paul or Peter, it's all about the Old Testament, Old Covenant believers. And then we see the two witnesses in the book of Revelation 11 that are going to, what are they witnessing? The power of Yahweh. And how people know they're a witness? Because they see them stopping the rain, fire coming down from heaven and bombing somebody. All right? And so we have, all of us have Ruach. And we can manifest it or bring it into evidence, like your phone. And so your phone, you have 9 apps. You have tongues of interpretation, prophecy, word, knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. 9 different apps that you can do, like, if you put them into effect. Guess what? Do these apps automatically pop up without you doing something?
No.
No, I have to activate them. I have to activate them. So we're going to do a little test now for whoever wants to activate that spirit. Okay.
No, go ahead.
So for one of you three people, your kids, I want you to give a prophecy to some individual. It'd be Melania, me, Aaron, or your mother. And it's going to be just to a single individual. You guys know how to do that, right? Okay, so, and whoever wants to volunteer, do it. And come up to the person who you're going to prophesy to.
Aaron, remember, my child, you are not of this world. You were meant for more. Remember that the people around you try to raise them up, but know that you are not at their level. You are higher than them. You are created to serve me, not to be friends with them. Remember, try to raise them up and be the best you can be. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Paul. Amen. And so what he just did, I'll show people, is you go there, you have the Holy Spirit. Do you know what you're going to say before you go? No. And so Yahweh doesn't leave you hanging. You go to the person and you start talking. And whatever comes to your mind, you start speaking. And when it stops, you know what you do? You stop. That's the message. That's the message. And sometimes you're going to go too far. But guess what? You're never going to be left. You're never going to be left hanging. Where all of a sudden you go there and all of a sudden, nothing. Now Yahweh doesn't do that. And that is, by doing that, what Aaron does with strangers in the grocery store and the gym, Yahweh's going bam, and he's going to sometimes insert a secret that only they know. That they know what just happened was supernatural. Mm-hmm. Their life has just been touched by Yahweh, and that's a witness that Christ has been raised from among the dead and that he lives. And so with all of us in our school and things like that, if we enact people, so you can do that with your grandmother, Lala, or with Josh or Amanda or anybody else, and people in your school, and like we said, don't say you're going to give a prophecy. Just say, hey, can I pray for you? Would you like to pray? And somebody said, my dad's sick, my mother's sick, or they're going to get a divorce. I don't know what to do. Would you mind if I prayed for you? And they go, yes. And say a prayer. All right? And then when it goes into prophecy, just let it go. You want to try it?
Yes.
Melania? Or Mama?
I'll do it, Melania.
Okay, come over here. Yes.
My children, never forget that I am with your side all the time. Don't get scared. Don't talk too much. Don't think too much. And just believe what I say. Whenever I say, you need to do it with me.
Amen.
Can I get feedback just as long as you're recording this, what he just said? So I got a word of knowledge to go to Vasa out east today, early. And when I went there, there's this guy that I've been ministering to. He's living on the streets, and he's a mess. But he knows a lot of word, and he was witnessing loud, this and that. He'll talk about Yahweh and other things, but he's got no peace. And I'm like, but after about an hour, I'm like, I said, I got to get to working out. I said, and I felt we should pray. And I've given him prophecies before at different times. And I said, hey, why don't we pray? I go, why don't you say a prayer? He goes, no, you do the prayer. But it was all this show, but then he knew, and then when I did a prayer, Yahweh talked about his wife again, which I don't know what this is going on with. This guy broke him down, but he said, "You're giving up on the wife I promised you." And out of nowhere, all of a sudden, I said, "But I'm not his friend. I knew exactly what it meant. But don't be their friends. Help them, and then get out." So you nailed it, dude. It's that same thing as you.
Good job, and that's it. So, we're going to hear from our Father. This is the prophecy for anybody who's listening in the future, according to 1 Corinthians 14. Father, we thank you for these words. Thank you, Christ, for paying the price for us. And you made us holy so we can manifest Holy Spirit. Holy Ruach HaKodesh. So we thank you for these words, for these people. Be patient, for times are tough. Times can really set you back and you feel that I'm not there, that I've abandoned you, and my prayers are falling to the ground. But that's not true. I always hear what you have to say, and I'm always working to my utmost ability to satisfy your request. You must work with me, and you must engage with me, and we must work hand in hand so you can be delivered and receive the deliverance, and you should give other people deliverance as you are delivered. Amen. We'll see you next week.